As we open this morning, I lift up a quote from Millard Fuller, some of you know as Habitat for Humanity founder. In his book, The Theology of the Hammer, he stated, "Our Christian faith mandates that we do more than just talk about faith and sing about God's love. We must put faith and love into action to make them real." We know that, right? To make them come alive for people, faith must be incarnated. We talk about God becoming incarnate in Jesus at Christmas, and always, but especially we talk about it at Christmas. Today we remember how our faith must be incarnated. It must be become more than a verbal proclamation or an intellectual assent. What is a visible sign of your life as disciples? In Haggai's time, the rebuilding of the temple was a visible sign of the Israelites' determination to put God first. Who's Haggai? Anyone? Any confirmand? Can y'all tell me where Haggai is? It's a minor prophet, and he sounds a lot like Jeremiah. He concerns himself with the remnant. I always love those who look out for the remnant, the group that are left behind. Here, it's those that were left behind during the Babylonian exile. And Kristen Wendland reminds us that the entire book of Haggai, it's two chapters, covers the span of several months in the year 520 BCE. The setting in Jerusalem, about 9 years after the king of Persia announced that the people who had been exiled can now return to their homelands. They can settle in, they can rebuild, and worship as they wish. The exiled Judeans return to Jerusalem to rebuild a city. They're called to consider the temple because that's where God resided for them. It was a reminder of God's place, and it served as a critical function in the community. It was the dwelling place of God. First, they considered the building of the temple going too fast. There were those that grumbled and spoke of that isn't where focus needed to be. Imagine any group of people and how there are questions about how processes should happen. But in chapter 2, it speaks of how they have forgotten their primary role. While the temple was once the center of their lives as community, they had prepared the foundation of their temple their very first year back. And now they hadn't touched it for 17 years. They were too distracted by getting their own lives back in order to worry about it. They started earning wages and didn't have extra time to work on the house of the Lord. But the Lord called them to the task and helped them reestablish their priorities. Haggai laid it on the line. Imagine this paraphrase. You live in nice, comfortable homes. You spend your time on things that reward you, eating and drinking, buying nice clothes, blowing your money on frivolous things, all to neglect the house of the Lord. The moment has come for you to refocus your time, your resources, and energy on building for God instead of for yourselves. Now, this isn't saying that God thought that they shouldn't seek the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, and wages, but God here challenges them about thinking of nothing but satisfying themselves. Surely they must have something for their God too. In verse 3 of Haggai chapter 2, it says, "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing?" And we're focusing on chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake the nations, and what is desired by all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of this former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord. For the gift of Scripture, thanks be to God. There is an age-old question that is talked about when churches consider their visioning, when leaders get together and think about their future. If your church, if your congregation ceased to exist tomorrow, what would your community miss most? If your church, if your congregation ceased to exist tomorrow, who will notice? What will they notice is missing? So it begs a question of us. What is our primary role as disciples? Often we get anxious about our buildings or the size and influence of our congregation, when our primary role is to point to the presence of God. Just as the prophet was reminding the people in his time. How do you point to God's presence? It is our call to proclaim the good news and bring people to Jesus. In our tradition, the United Methodist Church, we have a book of discipline. And in that book of discipline is a lot of things. But there is a statement of what our theological task is. At the end, it says, in this spirit, we take up our theological task. We endeavor through the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the love of God given in Jesus Christ. We seek to spread this love abroad, and we see more clearly who we have been as we understand more fully the needs of the world, as we draw more effectively upon our theological heritage, we will become better equipped to fulfill our calling as the people of God. What is our calling as the people of God? If you were here a few weeks ago, you heard Tim Rosenberry speak of the changes that have occurred in the lifespan of this church. And he reminded us, despite changes, God is with us. God has been with us. God is with us. God will be with us. And we are a congregation that seeks to worship God, and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Yet memories of our past can sometimes weigh us down. And it's those concerns and fears that Haggai addresses. You can hear our own anxieties in it. Deteriorating buildings with prohibitive upkeep. Congregations and communities that look different than they did in the past. And a world that changes faster than we can comprehend. This may have us look back at the past and think they had it better. They had it easier, and conclude there is no hope. But Haggai's prophecy says, go ahead, look backwards, but not with wistfulness that it is gone. Look at it as God is with you, God has been faithful, and God will faithfully create a new future for you. So Haggai pushes the need for the community to work together even more, even further. Capital campaigns can be scary. They can be scary when we think about all we're doing is talking about money. But when we consider what will happen when we no longer have a debt and can lean into a richer, more charitable, more life-giving general budget, we will celebrate. The Lord acknowledged that it was hard for those who remembered the temple in its former glory to move on. However, God prodded them to go forward nonetheless. Three times in this book, the Lord said, "Take courage, have courage," and not a breath goes by without God continuing, "For I am with you. I'm the same God that marched your ancestors out of Egypt. I was with your people then, and I will know you forevermore." As people of the New Testament, we remember the times in which God told us not to fear. "My spirit abides among you. Do not fear." And again from Haggai, "You are called to build, and I will be with you through it all." These words addressed to people more than 2,500 years ago sound like they could be written for us today, for those who follow Jesus to be an authentic community where all are loved on the journey toward connection with God and others. Today, many of us realize that we need to reprioritize our lives for the Lord. How do we act upon our faith, as Fuller said in the beginning? It is true that we're not always called to build structures. We're more likely called to build up relationships, to build up our families, to build up our community, our church, our spiritual lives, our character. We're called to build up one another. So the Capital Campaign stewardship season has provided an opportune time for us to examine how do we spend our time, our talent. And next week, we'll fill out cards about our campaign pledge beyond our regular giving. This invites us all into a time of prayer, because this is not just a fundraising campaign. We're praying for our congregation and how we as a people build. We build up one another. We build our community, our church serving as a critical function in the community, stewarding all of our resources. As we have spent the past few weeks examining on our work together and our call as disciples, today in our ministry celebration, we recall what a healthy budget supports. Again, what is a visible sign of our life as disciples? It felt like there were a lot of things coming together on this Sunday as we recognized our graduates, but it's almost too good, right? As we think about this foundation and all of our disciples growing up on this foundation, the fact that we don't walk alone and that we've been mentored and nurtured here to go into the world to serve and nurture others. For our graduates, hear those words, "God is with you and our spirit as the church goes with you." As you too are visible signs of our life in the world. Perhaps our temple construction, our building up, has to do again with caring for families or being as kind and as loving as we can be in our daily vocations. Talk about vocation. What is your role in the world? What is it that you do and work out in your everyday, ordinary life? Ordinary church, we're asked how we will show ourselves as a visible sign of God's love and grace. Again, from Fuller, our Christian faith mandates that we do more than just talk about faith, do more than sing about love. We must put faith and love into action to make them real, to make them come alive for people. Faith must be incarnated. It must be more than a verbal proclamation or an intellectual assent.